Welcome to Radio Tyneside, hospital and community radio on 93.6 FM, DAB, online and on your bedside entertainment system.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning, I'm getting ready for a brand new morning, packing my bags for a heavenly journey, I can't wait to be there, no I can't wait to be there.
Our theme today is harvest. So let's listen to a short medley of our most traditional and familiar harvest hymns. When harvest time comes round each year, traditional hymns like the ones you've just heard spring immediately to mind. We plough the fields and scatter, and Come Ye Thankful People, in particular, were written in the early 1800s, when images of rural life come straight to us out of a Thomas Hardy novel, or even a John Constable painting, at a time when rivers and streams were teeming with fish, air was clean, and there was an amazing variety of creatures in the countryside. Single ploughs were pulled along by heavy draft horses or a team of oxen. Seeds were scattered more haphazardly. Apples were pressed to make cider for thirsty farm workers. And villagers came together to celebrate their successful gathering in of all the crops, having worked together as one powerful unit. A successful harvest meant food and prosperity for the whole community, hence these hymns. Bringing in the harvest, then, was monotonous, exhausting, back-breaking work. We tend to forget that. But no wonder people thanked God for his great goodness, because all their efforts had been worth it, what with winter ahead, and all was well with their world. Let's listen to Katie Melua and Eva Cassidy singing What a Wonderful World.
I see trees that are green, red roses too. I watch them bloom for me and you, and I think myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white. What a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of the people passing by.
However, farming methods then had to be improved upon in order to meet the needs of a growing population, hence the agricultural revolution. This in turn brought about the industrial revolution, which changed farming life completely. Now machinery did a far more effective job of ploughing, sowing and reaping. Many small holdings were sold off to owners with large estates because the owners could afford to farm in a more intensive way. This in turn drove agricultural workers away from their farming communities into the smoke-filled cities with their dangerous mills, mines and iron foundries. Here, adults and children worked long hours in very dangerous, often fatal conditions. So to sing early 19th century hymns with gusto now, about a time when nature was so vibrant and colourful and at its most glorious, seems rather out of kilter in today's world, because our modern world is so very different. The world has changed, along with the climate, with its melting ice caps, rising sea levels, polluted waters, floods, drought, and the loss of biodiversity. Even though farmers in our country still do a truly amazing job, we as a human race have rather lost our way. The chorus in this next song says, "Counselor, comforter, keeper, spirit we long to embrace, you offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost our way." It's a song called "Wonderful Merciful Saviour" by Selah.
Precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Oh, our hearts always hunger
Of course, at harvest time, in our harvest festivals, we still must be thankful to God for the gift of this wonderful world that we live in. But we ought to have been better stewards of it, and far more considerate of impoverished countries that suffer as a result of our failings and excesses. When we sing cheerfully about God's abundant provision for us in our country at harvest time, we are now so much more aware that we are those who have, while others in so many parts of the world are the have-nots. Is it too late to correct this imbalance? Surely today our harvest prayers and songs should be focused on loving God, give us a new vision for the world we live in. Here's a version of Be Thou My Vision by a singer I've not heard of before, Nathan Pacheco. Jesus told many parables, very simple stories that have layer upon layer of wisdom beneath them. Quite a few of them are to do with harvests, the clearing out of weeds, sowing seeds, growth, reaping, and the gathering in of fruit. Jesus' warning in these parables is clear. Just as he died like a single seed of wheat sown in the earth to bring growth and life to the world, so too we must die to self-centeredness and greed. Here are the first of three harvest parables from my Pearls of Great Price album. The first is the parable of the grain of wheat.
The hour has come, said Jesus, it must not be denied. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Ba-doop-da-doop-a-day, ba-doop-da-doop-a-day. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it will remain but a single seed alone, to be precise. Ba-doop-da-doop-a-doop-a-day, ba-doop-da-doop-a-day. If it falls and does die, it's true, for so I'm told. It does what it is meant to do, it yields a hundredfold. Ba-doop-da-doop-a-day, ba-doop-da-doop-a-day, ba-doop-da-doop-a-doop-a-day. ba-doo-ba-day, ba-doo-dub-doo-ba-day.
If our attitude is get all you can all you get, then sit on the can, then we will be judged and found wanting, says another parable, the parable of the weeds. Here's what it says in Matthew 13, beginning to read at 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, Do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Here is the next parable, the parable of the weeds.
Some seed was sown in the countryside, genetically modified. An enemy there at eventide, as specified in the parable, sowed weeds. The plants grew up and multiplied, bore grain and all were satisfied. But then the mood intensified, as someone spied among the plants those weeds. Suggestions came in nationwide, let's spray the plants with fungicide, or use a neat insecticide. Gather in the crops weeds cannot hide. No, wait, oh, let our timing coincide, when reapers who are qualified will burn the weeds in bundles tied, and set our grain aside at harvest time.
Scripture tells us that we reap whatever we sow, that the choices we make in life have consequences to them, and so we receive back in proportion to whatever we sow. We need to be far more committed to sustainability, which simply means we must set a goal to make sure we can all safely coexist on planet Earth over a long time. We must unite across the world and share bold and innovative ways to bring this about. We must also encourage and give our support to those who fight for change and who are already trying to put their ideas into action. Another parable of Jesus tells us about the enormous amount of potential there is in one tiny seed. Whatever that seed happens to be, it may represent a different kind of harvest which benefits others. I think back to an interview I did recently with Nicola Dwyer from Safe Homes for Ukraine, where her one small mustard seed idea for a Facebook turned into a huge network of help and support for those fleeing war and devastation. Any small idea can become a harvest in the hands of our God if we're determined and brave enough to see it through. The parable of this mustard seed says this. Again, Jesus said, What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. So here's our third parable, the mustard seed.
Mustard seed, tiny seed sown in the ground. Soon you're the biggest plant for miles around. How green your leaves, don't they ever the air come to perch in your shade? What of God's kingdom? Will it come with speed? Unseen it grows up just like the mustard seed. Mustard seed, tiny seed sown in the ground. Soon you're the biggest plant for miles around. How green your leaves, don't they ever fade? Birds of the air come to perch in your shade. What of God's kingdom? It grows up just like the mustard seed.
Our church recently received an important environmental and social justice newsletter, which was most urgent and direct, sent from our local Wallsend churches working together. It's a very comprehensive letter. Let me mention some points I haven't already spoke about. This report reminds us that there's something very wrong with our economic system when impoverished countries are forced to pay their debt to private lenders and rich countries like ours before taking care of their own people. It reminds us that decisive action must be taken this decade in order to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions by almost 50% if we are to avoid catastrophic climate breakdown, and that we all need to play our part, but governments must live up to their promises. The report also claims that there's been a 60% decline of all wildlife since the 1970s, and that our throwaway lifestyles generate huge amounts of waste. It encourages us to fire our spirits with indignation and speak out about the current cost of living crisis facing millions of people in our country who live in poverty. It tells us that our patterns of consumption have created around 40 million modern slaves who provide us with goods and services, driving our cycle of mindless consumerism. And it reminds us that the push for growing economies in the global north make for extreme and unpredictable weather events, which will affect us all. Strong words in that report. It asks, do we care? And what are we going to do about it? It also offers suggestions, which I'm going to mention in next week's programme, as we don't have time today. Finally, let's listen to one of the most moving songs I've ever heard, called This Is an SOS from the Kids. And it was written by two young boys called Sim and Noah, with help from their mum and a cousin. The boys had been watching David Attenborough's documentary, Climate Change, The Facts, and they both decided they wanted to do something about what they'd just seen. They wanted to help change the world. And the idea for this last song, just like a mustard seed, grew. And their music reached millions of people when they and some of their friends sang it on Britain's Got Talent in 2019. Please change the story, they sing. Rewrite the plot. This beautiful earth cannot be lost. Stop hurting our planet like you don't care. There's only one world for us to share. May God bless you this coming week and bless any seeds of ideas you have in your own minds for a positive, creative way forward for our planet. This is Sheila Hamill saying goodbye along with Andrew Ridgwick, my technician.
Bye, everyone.
Bye for now.
This is an SOS from the kids. Grown-ups, take note of this.
We're finding our voice, calling you out.
You can't leave the world in fire and drought.
This is an SOS from the kids.
Please change the story. Rewrite the plot. This beautiful
Better than this.